Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who could easily fill up two barrels with podcasts. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Survivor 41 episode recap podcast, the podcast that we do every week on a Thursday with an alumni of the television show Survivor. Today, we're going to speak with Karishma Patel. She's from Survivor Island of the Idols, and we're going to talk to her about a fantastic two-hour premiere of Survivor 41. Everybody's so pumped up that Survivor is back. Got the chance to talk to Stephen Fishback last night, picked up right where we left off. Literally, I think I've talked to him maybe two other times since the last Survivor Know-It-All. So pretty much exactly where we left off. But that was very fun last night. Had a double exit interview. That was fun to get back on the exit interview circuit. And I got to talk with Abraham and Sarah. Both of them had some pretty interesting things to say about their time. All those podcasts are in our podcast feed, which it would be great if you subscribe, because then you don't miss an episode. robisawebsite.com/subscribe. That'll bring up a link tree where you could subscribe to Rob as a Podcast main feed, the Survivor only podcast feed, including everything that's from David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis and the B&B and Taryn and Shannon. Everything else we do Survivor, that's all going to be in the Survivor podcast feed. Or you could subscribe to our reality TV for Hap-Ups feed and get all of the other shows that we do. It means a lot for the show if you get subscribed here at the start of the season. So I'll wait if you want. robiswebsite.com/subscribe. We really appreciate those ratings and feedback too. If you could be so kind here at the start of a Survivor season. Of course, we're just getting started here this week. We are going to have over the weekend, I will get to the Robins Podcast feedback show. Chappelle will join me. Get your feedback questions in. Go to robiswebsite.com/voicemail. I love getting the voicemails from the listeners. One of my favorite parts of the show. Your questions are always so funny or interesting. robiswebsite.com/voicemail for that. Or you can always send us some questions all week long. I'm going to keep one link for the whole season. robhasawebsite.com/survivor questions. Whether you want to get in questions for the guest, the feedback show, just send them in and I'll figure out what shows they belong in. robhasawebsite.com/survivor questions if you want to bookmark that and send it our way. And of course, on Monday, I will have our patron Q&A this week. Amon Adwin, who just got done with the RHAP Instagram takeover, will join me on Monday night. I'll send out the link for the patrons to call in. robhasawebsite.com/patron for that. Should be a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and get to our interview this week with Karishma. All right, everybody. I'm very excited to bring in our guest here today for the first recap podcast of season 41 that she was on the last newbie cast of Survivor that we've seen. She is one of my competitors in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy of Football League, and she is a lover of Applebee's. Please welcome in Karishma Patel. Karishma, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. Hello to Rahat fam, Survivor fans. Really excited to be here. Excited to talk about the new season.
Karishma, very excited to have you here to talk about the two-hour premiere, because I'm really interested in getting your perspective on things. I've really just gotten to talk to Stephen about it, so I'm excited to hear what you thought about these 2 hours of Survivor. But in the meantime, what's been going on with you? What's new?
Same old. Life keeps going. I mean, work is busier than ever. I'm in Texas. So, there's a lot of change going on here. There's a lot. There's just life moves on and life's moving fast. I turned 40 this year. So I'm thinking about my birthday and like the level of happy versus depressed that I might be.
What did you do for your 40th?
It is this year.
It is this year. Okay. When is it coming up?
December 7th.
Okay. So do you have a big plan?
To try not to cry.
Try not to cry.
Too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 40. I blinked. I went from 25 to 40. I mean, Mm-hmm. When did it all happen? But yeah, I've got a new dog, a mini golden doodle named Fiji, who embraces the spirit of Survivor, watched with me last night.
That's what my boys want, a golden doodle.
Very cute. Very, very loving animal.
Okay. Well, maybe some of the listeners will have some 40th birthday ideas for you as we get through this podcast. Maybe we'll come up with something together.
I will take every suggestion.
What about a trip back to Fiji?
Oh my goodness. Wouldn't that be a dream come true? We'll see.
Yeah. Do you have like the lifetime pass to go to Fiji? Like they skipped your season.
Rob, they skipped our season for like everything. They were like, oh, it never happened. Let's just. It was funny because during the episode, you know, they showed a couple clips of like past seasons. Drew, my husband, made a comment like, oh, you know, they might show you. And I'm like, oh, honey, they're not going to show a single clip from 39. Like, that's not going to happen. But yeah, no season, no lifetime pass to Fiji, but it's okay. If we want to, we're going to go back one day.
One day. I think season 35, they didn't do that from when they started doing it. But for whatever reason, that season got skipped also. So it's you're not alone in that.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll make it there on our own, and it'll be fabulous.
Okay, Karishma, 2-hour premiere from Survivor. How excited were you to have the Survivor back? And what did you do for the premiere party?
I was so excited, and I was a little nervous, too. I mean, 16 months off of Survivor, and then, you know, watching something that's just so near and dear to you. I could not wait. I watched it at home with my dog and my husband and some dinner in our living room, just us. And I watched it. And then if I wanted to rewatch something, I rewound and rewatched it. And then when I, remembered a story from, you know, that tree, I remember it. I hit pause and I'd, you know, tell my husband the story about how many times I put my hand in that tree to look for an idol.
All right. This is the first time we're getting this. All right. So what tribe is on which beach? Can you give us the mapping it out?
Yeah, I was able to pinpoint that Yasa Beach is Lyra Beach.
Okay.
Pretty quick. I can't really figure out the other ones just yet.
Remind me again, Lyra was your tribe.
Lyra was my original tribe. Yes. And then after the swap, I was also new Lyra.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah. So Yasa Beach is Lyra Beach. And then I noticed like in the background of some people's confessionals, there were these particular type of tree that was only on Vokai Merge Beach. So I'll figure it out. But yeah, watching, you know, just them walk down the path to the water well, talking like Evie and just, I was like, oh my God, or that's the beach that Jeff showed us where the advantage is hidden.
Okay.
And I stuck my hand in that tree so many times. To look
you were too night. Early.
It is halfway to the water well, right on the path. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's like, it's a great feeling, but it also brings back like a wave of emotion, you know? So Yasa Beach is Lyra Beach, but I haven't figured out the others quite yet.
Karishma, what did you make of Jeff talking to the audience?
Breaking the fourth wall, right? I thought it worked. I worked sometimes he did it. And there's other times where it just felt kind of cheesy. Like before tribal council, when he turned to the camera, he's like, first tribal. And I'm like, well, duh. But I think I liked it. I think it adds a new element to the game. I think it creates more immersive experience, which obviously they're going for.
In watching it back today, and I was watching it with my son, and the first thing he said, like, this is weird that this is happening. But I was wondering that I feel like, do you think that this was like inspired by like YouTube, like TikTok, like basically like, you know, just like, hey, like, here's what I'm going to do today. And as opposed to like Jeff is always trying to, you know, evolve the show and make it appeal to a younger audience. Do you think that that's what they're trying to do?
I think he's definitely trying to evolve the show. I think he's definitely taking a step back, looking at who their audience is and trying to figure out what's going to work for that audience now. And their audience, I mean, you know, the newer audience is younger. So they're going to look for different things that people wanted to see. I really like that they included some of the camera crew and the other crew in a couple of the shots. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting because a lot of people don't know just the gigantic nature of the production. And to show it, I think it's just a way for them to express without words how big Survivor is, which is what they obviously want to convey when they want to increase their audience. And then when he's talking, you know, when he's talking to people, I think they're trying to turn it from like reality competition a little bit more to just like reality, you know, a little bit more reality TV versus just strictly reality competition. You see that in when they're doing like the cast and they're showing pictures from home and they're putting that cheesy music. That's like kind of like reality. That's like kind of like a, you see it on like Deal or No Deal. You see it on like The Voice.
Yeah. America's Got Talent. Yeah.
I think he's trying to evolve more into these shows that have worked and they have these elements that, you know, have worked for them. So I think breaking the fourth wall, you know, showing some, I don't like calling it sob stories. Those are interesting, interesting background stories, but sometimes they are sob stories, you know?
Well, can I ask you a little bit about that? Because I think it was Dalton Ross last night who said on Twitter about how, I liked how they included them. Steven had tweeted something about it also. And Dalton Ross felt like that he thought it was a little bit too much of just, you know, okay, the only way we can hook the audience into really feeling something is by making you know, all of these backstories like be something that's, you know, dealing with a trauma or some sort of like a, you know, emotional story. Do you feel like that was the show relying too much on that?
I think it just comes down to like audience psychology, which a lot of these shows have already studied, you know, and have already gone past. And you know, we can sit here and talk about how, you know, it gets boring and it's cheesy and it takes away from the game. But time after time, all these other reality shows have shown that it does tend to hook an audience. You know, people do tend to find relatable content when they hear about struggles that people went through, about, you know, traumas that they've overcome. And so it's, I think it's just more catchy than, you know, hi, you know, I'm a college student. I have rich parents and I run track. Hello. You know, people stream, you know, walk right past that as opposed to somebody who's really gone through it, who may not physically seem like Tiffany, for example, who may not physically appear like the strongest person, but when you show what she's been through in terms of her health issues, she's probably more mentally strong and capable than anyone else there. And so I think they're showing us like different versions of strength, maybe.
I don't want to misquote Dalton. He said that he would be more into the Survivor contestant backstory packages if they did not constantly reach for the lowest hanging emotional fruit. They are a little simplistic and reductive, especially for what I'm sure are very well-rounded people with more to them than hardship. So I don't know. Have you watched any Australian Survivor, Karishma?
I have not.
Which I think that I saw that seasons 4, 5, and 6 are on Paramount Plus now, which is a great binge. And of course, you should check out all of Shannon Gus's coverage of that if you do that binge. But they do it in a really interesting way where they really focus more on the person's occupation and sort of like this is their unique skill set. And so I was very excited to see the backstory. But I do think that for most of the ones that we saw, that it was a lot centered around hardship, not exclusively. Sydney like talked a little bit about how she's like an adventurer and she travels the world with just her retainer and a credit card. So it wasn't only that, but I think you are able to see like very much what you know, U.S. Survivor is very focused on, really trying to tell these the stories of the journey of these players.
Ooh, America loves seeing trauma. They love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a good way to hook the audience emotionally into the story with these players. I just thought it was interesting, like, who got them and who didn't. And I said this with Steven last night. I was very surprised that we didn't get anything from Abraham about being the first person out on the show. We didn't get his backstory.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people whose backstories we didn't get, and I was really surprised. And obviously, time is a concern, so they're not going to be able to get to everybody. I mean, they even expanded it 2 hours and weren't able to get to a lot of people. I would just assume they just knew that he's leaving. We can't really invest 30 seconds on the guy.
Maybe his life is too good. You weren't going to feel bad for him if he's like, I have an amazing life. Everything's great.
You never know. If you dig deep enough, you're going to find trauma in everybody's life. It's just a matter of the producers and the psychologists doing their job beforehand and finding it.
Grishman, that we'll see more in next week's episode. I feel like that now Australian Survivor airs multiple episodes per week. And so I think that they kind of feel like, oh, they have a premiere week where they have. But do you think that we will see any other intros past the first episode?
I hope so. I do. I hope so. And I hope it's a hodgepodge, right? I hope it's not all everyone's struggles. I hope you get some people sort of gloating about accomplishments and stuff in there as well. I think that's important. But I think every contestant in the show deserves that at the very least. I mean, they're all playing the same game. And I think us as an audience all kind of deserve as well to see who the person is that we're watching. It helps us decide whether we want to root for them or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Krishma, let's talk about a couple of these votes. Abraham, what went wrong for Abraham?
I think Abraham went a little bit too quick on the draw, naming a name.
Mm-hmm.
And even before, I think it probably happened well before they even lost the challenge. He was just trying to set it up in case they lost, and he was throwing her out from the get-go, really underestimating the connections that Tiffany made with the rest of the tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seemed he did not like it that she jumped in the water when everybody else was on the boat. And she definitely did do that. I went back and I was watching the episode earlier today. It doesn't happen like very early on, but like all the other tribes are gone. And she's just like, yeah, I'm going to go in the water now. I'm going to go everybody else. You figure out the oar. Maybe she was going to go gather the ones that were already like thrown down into the ocean.
Yeah, classic judging somebody for something that, for a decision they make on the fly. I think we heard somebody else scream, get in the water, and she kind of just listened. There may have been oars that were, not floating so well and needed to be gathered. Somebody's got to do that eventually. She's probably saving time by being one out of the six people, putting them together. So if they do get the sixth one and they're jumping in to catch up, the other five oars are ready to go. That would be my argument for her. I'd be like, her jumping in the water was still helping. She wasn't like saying, okay, guys, I'm going to go look for an idol now. That's not what she was doing. But it's just a classic use anything to put a target on a person.
Mm-hmm.
I was a victim of that a lot, right? Anything that you can think of that happens during a challenge, during that frenzy that you can use later on is, hey, oh my God, did you see how slow Krishma went up that ladder? And like, they don't really think about, oh, there's other things going on, or it had nothing to do with us losing. No, it's just, let's find something to speak negatively about the person so that I can put a target on them and not me. And I think that's what Abraham did really quick. But the connections that she made with the rest of the people were just too strong to overcome. It just appeared that way.
What do you think of the speed of the game in a three tribe season versus what you played in a two tribe season?
I was surprised. All of a sudden it was day two. I'm like, day two? Like where was night? I mean, what happened? It's going really fast, but honestly, like they're playing the same game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every 3 days, they might knock out two people instead of one.
Yeah. See, we don't know yet. I don't know if next week we're going to end up seeing two tribal councils, or if we'll end up maybe like having, you know, the next tribal council could be a day or two later, and then one person ends up going home. Or maybe it'll be like every other week. Maybe it'll be, okay, one person's going out in this episode, and then next week, you get only the first tribe that comes in is going to end up being safe from the vote.
I don't know. I feel like in terms of speed of the game, we're still watching the same Survivor. That's just my opinion. It's just smaller tribes. And I think the smaller tribes just lay more into the amount of risk that you have, you know, one out of six chance of going home as opposed to one out of 10, which was, you know, in mine. But well, what did we see? We saw a day one twist, which has happened plenty of times before. We saw we saw a day two twist, which was, I don't know if that's ever happened before. You would, but, and then we saw a day three challenge and veto. So it didn't move our veto. My God, Big Brother's on my head. Day three challenge and tribal. But it did move fast, but I think it's still going to feel like Survivor to me. It's still going to feel like, I'm watching my beloved Survivor. I'm not going to really get thrown off by that.
So it was kind of an open and shut case for Abraham last night. He ends up getting voted out unanimously. But who do you think is now in the worst spot in that group after this Abraham vote?
So who do we have in there? We have
it's Evie, Liana and Tiffany, and then David and Xander.
Is his name David or is it Voce? What the heck?
His first name is David. I have been calling him David because that's what we called him all through the preseason. Voce is his last name.
What are they doing? I mean, I get it if there's more than one David and they need to change it, but it just, I thought Voce was his first name.
Yes. Krishma, is it true that there were no nicknames allowed in season 39?
Yeah, they wouldn't.
So what changed? I had seen one of Lauren's TikToks where she talked about that there were no nicknames allowed in season 39. Are they just now season 41? It's like, okay, now you can have your nicknames back.
It's one of those things where there's no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. I think the producers are like, well, we're the producers, so, you know, we'll decide what we want and what we don't want. You get a flight to Fiji, you don't. You get opening credits and y'all don't. Mm-hmm.
You can post on social media. You can't. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really understand the nickname thing. I thought it was gone unless necessary, but whatever. It doesn't change the game. It is what it is. I just didn't really know what his name is. I think he's the lowest hanging fruit now. I think the girls are going to stick together. At least I hope so. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be between Xander and David.
Okay. And if I were to guess. The other, that seems likely, but you know, that if these tribes are going to stay in these smaller tribes, as Jeff has promised, that you do have to wonder, like, you could be headed towards like a Matt Singh situation if you don't value tribe performance or the challenge performance on some level. So I think you might be okay to lose Abraham, but I think it would be, you know, a tall order to lose, like, you know, one of those other two guys next also, because I don't know if there's a tribe swap on the horizon.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably going to have at least two more weeks in these smaller tribes. So it all goes down to, I mean, what are you defining as strength? Right. Like the next challenge, we saw a couple pictures in the next episode where they have to walk on a balance beam in the water and then jump. I mean, you know, anybody can, you don't need to be muscle bound to do that. I mean, arguably Abraham could have been the worst one at that. So, you know, you never know when people say keep the tribe strong, it's such a subjective term. And I have to go back and apologize because I said the girls stick together and Evie is non-binary. So I meant to say, Evie, Tiffany, and my gosh, Liana.
Yeah.
Liana. The three of them stick together.
Yes. Let's talk about then the other tribe, the Uwa tribe? UA?
Uwa.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. Uwa. Is that a Fijian word?
It's got to be.
Yeah. What is it? We don't know what it translates to.
I mean, I'm about to Google it right now.
It's fun to say.
I like
it's
it.
Like Al Pacino. Ooh-ah.
They're all great. Like Love You. Mm-hmm. I know it's not pronounced Love You. Mm-hmm. But Luvu. I don't know what Luvu is, but I love that it's, I can say. So Ooh-ah means muscle.
Muscle. Okay. Oh, are they the Brawn tribe?
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? Are they doing
is it,
that?
I'm is not it Fijian for brains versus beauty versus brawn? Did they backdoor sneak a theme in on us?
Oh my gosh. Did they do this? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's no, it doesn't seem like there's direct translation. Luvu, to sink in the water, to drown.
Yeah. Not ideal.
It's a flood. Luvu means a flood.
A flood. Okay.
Yeah, Luvu means a flood.
I mean, but they did fill the buckets.
That's kind of sad. That's a sad meaning. I don't know if you want to be on a tribe that means flood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a fun name. I know Lyro and Vokai were crab and lizard, which were our
makes sense
symbols. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So, were you surprised that Sarah ended up going home?
No. And I hate to say it because I really, really wanted to see her step up and, you know, make a case for herself. But it goes all the way back to find a reason to blame somebody, point that finger, point it hard, say what you need to say so the target remains on that person. And one stupid puzzle piece left in a bag. It's just such a sad reason to be like, to use the word screwed up. I mean, mm-hmm. Who was it? Ricard?
Yeah.
Who was like, yes, you know, Sarah and Shan screwed up the puzzle. They didn't screw it up. It mm-hmm. was one piece in a bag. Any of y'all bozos standing there could have seen it.
Yeah.
You guys didn't see it either. I think, unfortunately, Sarah is just a really sweet, kind person. I think that she, you know, I don't think she fought as hard as she could have at tribal council mm-hmm. to, you know, make sure she got into that Shan and JD conversation. I mean, who am I to talk? But it's easier said than done. But unfortunately, she really seemed like the person they were going to be letting go of.
Krishma, I'm really still confused about how this tribal went down. I had the chance to talk to Sarah and we had a very fun exit interview. The most swearing we've ever had in an exit interview.
That's awesome. I mean, I love
a record.
Sarah. I paused and I told my husband, I'm like, I hope she doesn't go. I really like her. I like her energy. I think she's quirky. I think she has so much more to offer.
Yeah.
I think Ricard just has a really strong voice. I mean, he's got this voice that just seems to resonate on that team. And Shan seems to have positioned herself really well. You know, unfortunately, Sarah just didn't have that position.
But I feel like that Ricard ended up losing out in the power struggle last night. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just, you know, there's so much that we don't know in terms of this group. But it seems like that it was Shan who had the relationship with JD that ended up winning out over where it was Ricard and it was Sarah who were saying, get rid of JD, get rid of JD. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it ends up being Sarah who goes home and Ricard who's casting a vote for Sarah in that spot. So it seemed like that he lost his person and also like the person that he wanted to go home ends up staying.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It really, and that is really like something key that we picked up at Tribal was the relationship between Shan and JD, which they showed like one or two conversations that they had at the beach, but I didn't pick up on how strong that connection or alliance was until they, you know, bound together at Tribal. And I don't know if maybe they have some kind of a cookout alliance, which would be amazing if they did, or another kind of bond, but that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of that connection between Shan and JD that was so strong that they were able to be like, Sarah, please give us some space and decide what was going to happen. That was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like JD, that he's, 20 years old, that he seems that he's like, has all the exuberance in the world, wanting to be out there. But I felt like that his inexperience was really showing in the episode. I feel like that he's trying to play a very big game. And I just wonder if, as opposed to Xander, who I thought is the same age, but sort of was straight up. And I think he had better results. I think that JD trying to be sneaky in this episode, I feel like that didn't work as well for him. And I think it sort of gave off shady vibes to other people in the tribe.
Yeah, I agree. And particularly, I'd say comparing Xander and JD with how they came back and told the story of the risk or protect twist.
Yeah.
It was just two completely different methods in telling the story. And I think Xander sold it better because I feel like he just shows as more genuine. Like you said, just more upfront. Whereas JD, when he was, elaborating more and giving a lot more details, and it just seemed to be like giving more opportunity for people to think in the back of their heads, okay, what is he spinning? Mm-hmm. When he's just happy to be there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But you're right. I think he's trying to play a bigger game than he needs to right from the get-go.
I love JD. He's out there and he's like chewing on the scenery in he was like monologuing in tribal council to the point where he's like narrating what's happening live during that tribal council where he's like Jeff, this doesn't look good, and he's talking through the whole thing. It was really fun to watch that, so I'm very happy that he ends up sticking around. I'm curious to know exactly where he falls into all of this, because the thing that I just keep thinking about is, Sarah has this, what's it called? The shot in the dark die. She has that in her pocket. Okay. She's thinking about using it. And I just am wondering, it seems like that Ricard and Shan are talking with Sarah at the tribal council about the possibility of switching the vote to Brad, but I don't know if I buy that Brad was ever in consideration to go home at that vote. And then you see JD people are talking and he's getting up and we see Ricard walk over and say to JD, the vote is for Brad. So at some point, Shan tells him, no, it's not Brad. We're going to do Sarah. And that's ultimately who they vote for. I'm not sure then when Ricard gets back on the page to vote for Sarah. And I just can't figure out exactly how this happened, whether or not that were people trying to not get Sarah to play that advantage? Or do you think that Brad really was in danger?
I think there's a lot left on the cutting room floor from that tribal, first and foremost. I was very confused when the three of them, Ricard, Shan, and Sarah, started talking, and they said something to the effect of, I think he may give up his vote. We don't know. Were they talking about JD or were they talking about Brad, right? We don't know who they're talking about. I mean, I'd assume they're talking about JD. Now, that means that they are assuming he's going to lose. He's going to play the dice and he's going to lose it. But then there's a big hole, right? We don't know what happens there in the middle, where Brad comes into play, right? I don't really know where he comes into play. And I wonder if, Sarah didn't start it all by whispering to Shan, I'm scared. I wonder if she didn't do that to begin with, would she be safe?
I don't think so. It seems like that she was going to be the person to go. I just don't know if she almost got safe from what she was doing. Like, did it almost work, her getting the target onto Brad, or were people just trying to make her feel better? In talking with her, she said that she felt like that, no, they really were considering Brad. But Brad never seems to move with any sense of an urgency in that spot.
Brad also seems to me like a super old school Survivor player. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can, use Brad's nonverbal cues as a predictor of what's really going on. I just feel like there was a little bit of a hole in storytelling from the editors, and it got really, really confusing. I didn't pick up on who voted for Ricard.
It was Jeannie, and figure that part of the puzzle out.
Exactly. So they left that out. They did it. They do that every season, though. I noticed they do that every season. And there's always some times where there's votes and we don't know where they came from. Obviously, they don't have time to show it all. But it just seems to me, you know, at the end of the day, the way that the producers, the way the editors decided to show it was that Shan and JD made the decision. Mm-hmm. And then whatever happened later happened. But they decided to show us Shan and JD making the decision. And so now I think they're setting us up for a strong duo in Shan and JD. I mean, I hope so. I think that's what they're kind of setting up for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, Karishma, correct me if I'm wrong. The tribal council that you went home on in your season, that ended up being one of these live tribal councils, right?
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes. What a headache.
Can you talk a little bit about what that was like to, you know, be there? Like, what's going on when one of those is happening?
So I'm in the front row. I don't really see what's going on behind me. Some kerfuffle happens behind me. I hear Nora's voice. I hear somebody else's voice. I don't know what's happening behind me. But at that point in time, you know, people are accusing other people of things. You know, there's people accusing, you're whispering, no, you're talking, and I don't know what's real and what's fake. And during these live tribals, you go back and you just start questioning everything that you came into tribal with. So it's scarier because you have no idea. You have absolutely no idea now what's going on because you definitely missed something. You might be whispering to one person and somebody else is having a whole conversation over here that you just completely missed and could change the entire outcome. And the tribal that I went home, I'll be honest, Rob, I was so frustrated and exhausted at that point. And there's a lot of stuff that was left out. It was so crazy, some of the stuff coming out of people's mouths. And when that happens, you lose control.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing I can say about live tribal is when you're in a live tribal, it's a complete loss of control. And whatever even semblance of control you feel like you had walking in, that's all down the drain, especially when you have somebody pointing the finger at somebody about, you know, leaking who the target is, you know, and then everything just goes haywire. Live tribal, it's not, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it goes haywire. I don't like as a viewer when it goes haywire, because exactly what we just talked about happens. There's too much content for them to show everything. They miss some of the whispering, right? Some of the whispering.
At least we got the subtitles last night. So I can't say that, like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like, because at least we can follow what's going on.
Right? JD doesn't even have a whisper. So, but, you know, as a viewer from the audience perspective, I feel like you miss too much during the live tribal. But, you know, it's a natural part of tribal council. If somebody says something alarming or you see something going on alarming or your back's against the wall, you feel strongly, you're going to say something and it might trigger live tribal and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think it's a part of the game to stay. Unfortunately, all the live tribal haters, I think Jeff loves it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a part of the game.
Yeah. So what do you suggest to people that are listening to the podcast who, you know, could potentially be in one of these situations in Survivor 43? Live tribal is going on. Like, is the move to, like, get up? Are you, like, trying to, like, insert yourself into as many of those conversations as possible?
Yes, absolutely. My biggest advice, get up, get into the conversations. Don't give anyone space. Play dumb if you have to. Listen, try to put your ears in everything. Mm-hmm. Watch people. Look and see if they're whispering and then they turn to you and they look back. That's what you need to pick. You need to do everything that I did not do. Mm-hmm. You need to do what, you know, don't do what you saw Sarah do, which was she asked, do you want me to give you space? I did that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough, but my advice, hindsight's 2020, don't do that. Get your ass up, start effing screaming, say what you need to say, because that's all you have.
Yeah.
That's your last shot. So get that last bit of energy, what you have, use your brain, know your audience, get into those conversations and talk to them. And if nobody's letting you in, get up and just talk as loud as you can. I wish I have such a loud voice. Mm-hmm. I wish I found that I had fire in my stomach that whole time I was sitting there, but I wish I used that fire to get up, turn around and just scream three really good sentences. Because even if I still went, which I probably 100% would have still gone, I would have at least gotten it out.
What would you have said? Do you know?
I know. I mean, it changes in my head every other day. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would have told them more about what Nora was saying.
Yeah.
I would have told them more about what Nora was saying, and I would have doubled down on me being a free agent, and I would have pointed to the exact people I wanted to work with.
So Karishma, one of the things that I love about your story is that after the season was over, that you said, look, I never want to do this again. This wasn't like I got off the couch. I went out there. I'm good. I had my experience. In the time that's passed since you played, have you come back around on that? Would you like to play again, or do you stand by that you were good?
I would like to play again.
Oh, okay.
I would. If it's the right time in my life.
Yeah.
I would like an opportunity to go back and redeem myself for those moments where instead of being courageous, I was quiet. Mm-hmm. And give myself the opportunity to be more of myself.
Yes.
I would take that. And you know, I could tank and be the first one out. And it is what it is, but I would never blame myself for not giving myself that opportunity because I think I deserve it. Mm-hmm. And as proud of myself as I am, there's a huge lesson that I can apply if I'm able to go out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see where Jeff said though, that he says that for now they're done with the players from the first 20 years of the show?
Yeah. I mean, maybe because for the next couple seasons, but you know, Jeff can never say never. He also said there's never going to be a winners, all winners season. And look what happened. Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. And you have to, Jeff has his nose on the audience. He knows what his audience wants. Right now, what he's trying to do is appeal to this new market, these high school students, junior high kids that are watching, the newer wave of generation that have just started watching in the seasons in the 30s. Right now he's focused on them. So he just cannot focus on giving, you know, the old school survivor loyalists what they mm-hmm. want. He does not want to even think about it. So when somebody asks him about it, he's like, no, because he's laser focused. I think when he gets a little bit, his feet more into the cement with accomplishing his goal of hooking that younger audience, the family audience, mm-hmm. the reality show people, he's definitely going to go back and realize, you know what? It's time to evolve again.
Yes. Okay. Old is new. Guess who's back? Okay. Yeah.
Let's ski if these survivor players from your can adapt to the changes that we've made to Survivor mm-hmm. in this, say it with me, new era.
New era. New era.
New era. Drink every time he says new era. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or drop the four. Keep the one.
Oh my God. It's so funny.
Have you thought about that with your 40th birthday? Should you say, hey, drop the four, keep the zero.
Krishna reborn. Let's do it.
This is a new beginning. You're zero. You're 0 years old. You just were born.
That's a brand new beginning. That's way early.
I love that. And then we have like a baby shower. You are a new. That could be the theme. Like that could be the theme of your. Yeah, that's the theme of your birthday.
Of my reborn as a onesie.
Yeah,
that would be cute. Oh no!
Drop the four. Keep the zero.
Pretend you didn't say any of that.
All right, we'll be right back talking more about the Survivor 41 premiere with Karishma. But first, we're going to take a moment to thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at KiwiCo. And I have an honest-to-goodness KiwiCo expert here with us in the studio. It's Dominic Sestrino. Dominic, how are you?
I'm good.
Yes, Dominic, very excited to have you here. Happy Survivor premiere week.
Back at you.
Back at you, right. Dominic, I want to talk a little bit about the KiwiCo box. Now, I know that you are an expert. Of course, KiwiCo crates deliver cool, hands-on art, science, and geography projects right to your door. And I know that you are an expert. How many KiwiCo crates have you done in your lifetime?
Probably like 8.
And what do you like about them?
I like that they teach me new things, like how to make things and science.
Yep. Yes, that's good. That's what they do. Would you say that they have cultivated your natural creativity and curiosity with the hands-on projects every month?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Of course, they'll explore new worlds and rediscover familiar ones without ever leaving home. Now, look, this school year is going to be trying. I know that last year, when you went to school on Zoom, you didn't love that, right?
No.
That was not great. But KiwiCo is going to help your kids be able to work on science and art projects, even when they are outside of the classroom. They're also going to do their part to encourage your children to be innovators and creative thinkers. Is that one of the reasons why you're such a creative thinker?
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, and they won't believe what they'll be able to build and accomplish at KiwiCo. Have you been amazed at what you've been able to create with KiwiCo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Of course, the best part is watching their confidence grow as big as their smile. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children busy and challenged. KiwiCo, they do the legwork for you, so you can spend more quality time tackling projects together. There's something for kids of all ages. And of course, KiwiCo is way more fun than screen time. Boo, screen time!
I mean,
all right, a little screen time, but we're gonna be focused more on the KiwiCo crate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the fun stuff. Okay. Everything gets shipped right to your door. There's no commitment. You can pause or cancel anytime. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code RHAP at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. That's KiwiCo.com. Yes. Promo code RHAP. Pay attention. Promo code RHAP. Dominic, quick. Who's the winner pick for Survivor 41?
Ricard.
Okay. All right. If he wins, I'll buy you a KiwiCo box. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's get back to Karishma. Thank you, Dominic.
Bye.
Karishma, I want to ask you about that new twist, the shot in the dark die, because you are somebody who often was on the bottom. A lot of times, probably went into tribal council thinking, okay, it's going to be me tonight. Might have potentially played that on multiple occasions. Do you like this idea of the shot in the dark die?
Let me ask you a question before I answer that.
Yes.
Do you only get one?
I think you get it. You get one die, I think, for the whole season.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that.
And I don't believe it's transferable.
And they're not transferable.
I don't think so.
We'll find out. So I do like that twist. I do. I think it's a good addition to the show. And here's why. A lot of times you'll walk into tribal and with your back against the wall because you don't have any kind of an advantage. You don't have any ammunition in your back pocket that you could possibly throw out during tribal. And you just know votes are coming your way. You know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really scary, right? And that leaves you out of control. And it's kind of boring to watch, right? It feels like a gonging almost.
Yes.
And so what this does is it kind of throws a wrench into a potential gonging, and it gives somebody the slightest bit of power over their own outcome. So I like that there's a twist that gives somebody who has their back against the wall, doesn't have anything else knows they're getting votes. It gives them a Hail Mary. I like that. What I didn't like is that the tribe is just six people. And when the tribe is just six people, your vote is so important. Your vote is crucial because they may be splitting the votes. You know what I mean? There may be, your vote in particular is so much more valuable in a tribe of six than it is in, say, a tribe of 10. Mm-hmm. So to risk that for a 1 in 6 chance is real, especially if you think that your name is on the chopping block, is really scary. So one thing a lot of people may not realize is you're always splitting the vote because immunity, I guess. Mm-hmm. The plan is always mm-hmm. going to be to split the vote. Now, whether that plan goes forward because somebody has other ideas, who knows? But the plan is always split the vote. And with a tribe of six, that split means your one vote could really make a big difference. I think it should be 1 out of 3.
Okay. So
I think it should be 1 out of 3, especially if you only get one shot to use it. Mm-hmm. I think it should be 1 out of 3.
Wow.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
See, I wonder how much they want it to actually happen and save somebody. And I wonder if it's like to create blindsides and potentially like have people like splitting the votes and end up like having survivors get themselves into tricky spots by trying to split the vote and outsmart themselves more than they want it to actually work.
I think people will start using them more if there's after the merge. Mm-hmm. I think people will start using them more when there's a larger pool of voters mm-hmm. and when their own single vote doesn't hold as much value. I think right now, as we saw, nobody used it. I think it's just 1 out of 6, 16.66666%. Mm-hmm. is a really low probability for a huge risk.
Do you think that from what I understand, okay, you go to the urn, you take out your, you know, you put your, like, I want to say the coin of destiny. It is destiny.
The dice. Right?
Yes, the dice, the shot in the dark die. You play that, okay, and then you pull a parchment from the bag and then put it in the urn. I guess it's going to work like the hidden immunity idol, but I'm just wondering, should you be able to should it be that you play it before the vote to then give the other people, a chance to vote for somebody else? It's almost like that to lose the game on that somebody else played the, you know, that there was one vote from the other person that they played the shot in the dark die and you go home on that. That'd be tough to swallow.
Yeah. And, you know, especially since if you're using it, you don't have a vote. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, if I use it and I'm successful, my vote is the one that's going to send
somebody. Oh, yeah, that's right. So okay, so that is a good point. So then they don't get to vote. So I think we're going to, I guess what would happen in essence is that basically it's like we'd have like, okay, there are no votes because if it's like, 5-1, say Abraham did that last night. It's like, okay, no votes because Abraham was immune and now we vote again. So I guess it would kind of function the same way where then everybody would now have to re-vote. Abraham's off the table.
Abraham doesn't vote. Because he's safe.
Yeah, and he would be safe and he would be off the table. But the other five people would have to go vote again for a new person.
Yeah, I would assume that that's what would happen. Mm-hmm. And I think they're doing it after the voting for a blindside factor on the other people, the other five. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then I don't know. I wonder, is that where the one genie vote for Ricard came from?
I don't think anyone's using it for the time being. I don't think so. I don't see anybody giving away their, because once you play it, your vote's gone. Mm-hmm. Whether you're safe or not, your vote's gone. I don't see anyone playing it in a tribe of 5 or 6.
Yeah. I wonder also if we could see like a situation where like a whole like alliance ends up playing it. Like, you know, they're like down in the numbers and that like 7-3. And all three of them play it.
That's true. Or you could see people messing around trying to flush it. Mm-hmm. That could be another element to the game. It attempts to flush it, especially if you only get one shot at it. Mm-hmm.
Does it bother you that it's a dice and then you draw a piece of paper?
Does it what?
The thing is a dice.
Why is it a dice if you're not rolling it?
I feel like it should be that it should be a die, and you play, and then in the room there's like a giant like a styrofoam die, and then you roll that one, and that'll say either safe or not safe,
or like a magic eight ball.
Oh, perfect! I love that. Yeah, and then you have like the overhead camera that will tell you what it is. I just don't want it to make the noise of the dice, but you know, I feel like this is a better way to do it.
I wonder about producers as well. Hey, mm-hmm. You know, everyone has to wonder. You know, what a bust if every time it's used, it's a loser vote. Like, what a bust of the entire twist, right? Producers need it to work at least once.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I want to ask you about the risk your vote or protect your vote thing that happened, because in some ways I feel like that there's a parallel here with Island of the Idols, where a boat shows up and the question is, all right, who gets to go? And I know in Island of the Idols, you were disappointed. You would have liked to have gone to the Island of the Idols.
Yeah, I wanted to go. I think it was the time where Lauren ended up going. Mm-hmm. And then there was another opportunity for me when Jamal and I found the note.
Yeah.
I dodged a bullet then. Yeah, I dodged a big bullet. Mm-hmm. I did want to go, but it is so scary. It's so scary because it's big risk, big reward. And it all comes down to your ability to sell your story when you come back. I mean, that's it. That's the name of the game. Whether you decide to tell the truth or whether you decide to fabricate what actually happened, it's all about your ability to sell it. Mm-hmm. You know, earlier in the game, I may have been in a better position to sell it. You know, when people weren't all like, let's murder Karishma in her sleep, you know, it might have been a little bit of a more fair playing ground. I may have had a better opportunity to be able to sell it. But later in the game, like, had I gone instead of Lauren, and if I had to come back and convince people to sit out of the challenge for food, like, you know, I think people would have spun that into all directions. And so it really, really depends whether you feel confident in your ability to sell what you want people to think happened out there.
Do you think players should have been more aggressive and assertive about, like, hey, I'd like to go on this?
I don't know if I have an answer to that. I think it depends on the type of player that you are. Honestly, we have so many different types of players this season. Look at Xander, who somebody was like, Xander, you go, right? And he was like, okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, or Danny, who was like, I am sick and tired of all this back and forth and none of y'all are going to go. I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably what I, you know, would have run through my mind. But I think it just depends on what kind of player you are. I don't think there's a right or a wrong. Like I said, I think it comes down to whether you feel confident in your ability to come back and tell them what you want to tell them.
Do you think we'll see this again next week, that there will be a boat that will show up that will take players off? Because I think that it might be interesting to have multiple players involved there, where it's sort of like that we have sort of a almost like a Exile Island type scenario, where if one representative of all three tribes like goes at the same time, and they end up like not doing the exact same thing, but maybe something different, where between like the three of them, they're deciding something, and then mm-hmm. they have to go back to their tribes. I feel like that adds a little bit of like a social element to it, which if they're not going to do a lot of tribe swaps, I feel like might be interesting.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be interesting, but they have to be careful and not overkill and do it too much, because then we end up with an advantage get in, right? We end up with too many advantages in too many pockets. I mean, we've already got two of them floating around now, two extra votes floating around until the final six. I think the last thing you want is to do the overkill. But they do have to, I mean, we're going back to 1 hour episodes. They still got to fill up the 1 hour. They have three tribes to show. I don't know if they're going to do it every week. They mm-hmm. might do it every other week. It might make more sense. And I really hope it's creative. I hope it's stuff that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. They might need all those extra votes to offset all the people that are losing their votes.
Yeah, exactly. If anybody ever decides to use that thing, which, like I said, I don't think anybody in their right mind is gonna be using it until at least the tribes are bigger.
Yeah.
Or for some reason, they're just certain everybody else is voting for them, which would be shocking. Unless you have like a major villain. I don't know.
Krishma, are there any standouts in this cast that you're really enjoying?
I have my favorites.
Yes.
I really, really like Evie a lot. I think she just has, not she, I'm sorry, they, it's they, right? I'm so sorry. I apologize to everyone listening. I think Evie has just a really great personality, a really great energy. And I think that's gonna take Evie really far. Mm-hmm. I really like, I have to shout out to Nasir.
Yeah.
He's like my brown brother, super excited to see somebody who grew up over there in the South Asian region, Sri Lankan, just like that's where, you know, Natalie Anderson's half Sri Lankan.
Yeah.
And really, really, you know, excited to watch him. I don't know about his positioning on his tribe, but I just, every time he opened his mouth, it made me so happy because, you know, he sounds like my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he looks like my family. And he's wearing, in one scene when they're walking out to the boat, he's wearing a traditional Indian garment called a lungi, which is like a sarong type of a tie, like pretty much like a male sarong that they wear in South India and Sri Lanka. And it's just, you know, a traditional Indian or Sri Lankan garment. And I saw him wearing it and it was so exciting to me, you know, even if whatever happens in the game, the fact that he's out there, he's representing our community, he's showing, you know, colors of where he came from and how he learned English, just like my parents did. I can't help but root for him. So, you know, Evie, Nasir, I think Shan has herself in a good position. People seem to have loose lips around her. People seem to just, you know. Well,
can we drill down a little bit on Nasir for a moment? Because I'd love to know about where you think he is now in that group where that his story in the first episode was that he was watching Deshaun and Danny and then they stopped for however long and they were looking for the idol, and he went back and told everybody, hey, those guys are looking for the idol. But then we ended up with Sydney going back and telling the guys, hey, Nasir is talking about you. And I'm wondering if you feel like that he is in a bad spot now.
I do think he's in a bad spot now, unfortunately. Again, it's another hole in the editing. We didn't see the relationship that Sydney and Deshaun forged that made her feel compelled to tell him what Nasir said, right? Because I would be upset if these guys are out looking for idols when they're supposed to be completing a task for the tribe. That would certainly upset me. I think their decision to do that, I wouldn't have done that. They could have easily gotten caught. They were, you know, taking a calculated risk and taking a break to look for idols. Two things: taking a break from a challenge for the tribe, and number two, looking for idols. But we sort of missed out on why Sydney. I would have liked to hear why Sydney spilled the beans when, you know, as a four, they could have used it with Erica, Heather, Sydney, and Nasir. Could have used that information later. I would like to know what led Sydney to make that choice to tell him to, like, you know, tattle on Nasir.
Yeah, that's a good point, because they had not really been together for that long. So it wasn't like, okay, well, Danny and Deshaun are my allies. I have to tell them what's been going on. I mean, it seemed like that they were on the boat and then they got to the island. They did that challenge. Danny and Deshaun were off doing their own thing. And then when they got back, I'm not sure, maybe it was a day later or something like that. Yeah. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, we missed that. I think they missed out on showing us, or maybe it could have just been one confessional. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think we sort of missed that. Why would she tattle? Why wasn't she she didn't show her being upset at all that they'd go idol hunting. I mean, every other season, look at my season, poor Jason, you know, had a noose around him because he went out looking for idols. I mean, every season, episode one, right? Who's out looking for idols? Target that person. And this time around, it just seemed like nobody really cared. It
Freshman, was very this is a new era. We don't get mad when people look for an idol. Yeah. You know, get rid of the four, keep the one. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. You know, maybe she just doesn't like Nasir. Maybe they just don't connect. They don't bond. And she kind of wants to put a target on him. Mm-hmm. And she feels like strategically this may be her best way to do that. Mm-hmm. That might be what's going on. I mean, we heard... in a preview for season two, or not season two, I'm sorry, episode two. In a preview for episode two, I think we heard her, I think it was her voice say, let's learn everything from him before we cut him. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, they were showing it was Nasir.
Yeah.
So, you know, knock on wood, I really hope his back is not against the wall. And I hope he makes it far, but I don't know about his position on the tribe. I mean, obviously other bonds are stronger than the ones that he has right now. But I'm cheering for him.
Yeah, he's very fun. You said you like Shan.
Shan.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like Shan's in a good position. I think people are going to catch on to it real soon. Love Shan's outfit, the Luigi outfit.
Yes.
I love it. Overalls for the win. But I think she's positioned herself really well. I mean, it was like her name was being thrown out as a target, but nobody was taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She seems like she's in a lot of conversations, got a really good amount of airtime.
Yeah.
Seemed to be the controller, one of the key controllers of that first vote. So I think Shan's positioned pretty well to go pretty far.
So Karishma, do you have an evil anthem that you sing to yourself if you're ever... doing anything evil? Not that you would ever do anything evil.
It's probably the sound of my laugh. Just because I'd just be laughing at myself. Like, what the heck are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's probably it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Have a song when you were pretending to be like catatonic to the tribe after you went out and found the idol?
I don't have a song. I have a voice. Mm-hmm. I have voices in my head. I don't know if that makes me crazy.
Yeah.
But I have voices in my head that like angel, devil, like the voice of reason, the voice of, you know, compulsive. Too many voices. Mm-hmm. But no hum. I didn't understand the humming. It just sounded like humming to me. I didn't hear a tune. I just heard humming. And I'm like, is it a song? Was it a song or did I miss it?
I think that they made it into, it was a couple of notes. And I think that the Survivor music department really helped build it up.
That's one that's another reason why I think Shan may be going far. Cause they spent a good minute on that.
They wouldn't make
why would they spend a whole minute on that?
Yeah. They wouldn't give her a song if she wasn't going far.
Exactly.
You would think so. Yeah. Unless they're really just, you know, messing with our expectations. Cause it's a new era.
Read the cues. Plus, she has a really nice smile. She has one of those engaging smiles. I love that in person when they have a smile that you can't look away from. So that's Shan. And then there was one other person I'm trying to think. I can't. Oh, Erica.
Yeah.
I like Erica.
I like Erica, too. She didn't get a lot in the first episode.
No, she didn't. And I
Her
really
and Heather.
Yeah, we got zero Heather, right? But I mean, we also got zero Dean my season. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, they talked to both of them on the mat. That was really the only time you got them.
But Erica, I like her energy. I really hope she's not underestimated for her size. Mm-hmm. But she gives me like smart and intuitive vibes. And I like that in a person. So I'm really rooting for her too. I really like, and then her performance in the puzzle, you know, granted they show what they want to show, but she seemed to really boss that puzzle,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. The 41 yeah. piece puzzle.
Yeah. 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 So that's another one that okay. stuck out to me. Oh, and one more thing, Xander, I thought was really funny. My husband Drew, out of nowhere, out of left field, just made this comment about Xander and said, you know, I'd hire him.
Hire him to do what?
I don't know. My husband interviews people for his company and yeah. to join his team and stuff. And
is your husband in tech? I think that Xander is a app developer.
No, he's not in tech. He works in oil and gas, but mm-hmm. he just got up and went to the bathroom, but he made this like loose comment, out of nowhere, like, oh, I'd hire him. That's a sharp kid. And then he walked away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Drew, who's, and I'll preface this by saying he's not a Survivor fan, does not watch Survivor.
Casual.
Very, very casual, meaning he's watching this season because I'm making him. But he's learned to, like, watch the people and like, how they present themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he really picked up on something about Xander. And yeah. he really liked the way
everybody said he's so honest and he can't lie.
I don't know.
That's somebody that you want working for you.
We'll see. I thought I'd point that out. That was something about Xander that my husband sort of picked up. That's a kid I'd want to hire.
Okay, I've got questions for you that I want to start to bring in. Okay, and let me see. How about this is a question from? How about? Jake Zimmerman wants to know, Danny, JD, and Xander all played the extra vote advantage differently. Who played it best for their game, and how should they factor their tribe's opinion and their own standing into these advantage choices? Did you think that any of them really was showed the way that you would have handled this?
Yeah, I would have handled it the way Danny did. I'm just a little bit more risk aversive by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have felt like it's too soon to be able to guess what the other two people would do.
Yeah.
I
would have protected the vote also. And then I felt like after I said that last night, I was like, what a loser. But I really just feel like, it's day three. Like, I'm trying just not to blow this whole thing up.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my one vote out of six. It comes down to the fact that your vote has so much more weight because it's one vote out of six. Do you really want to risk it when you got two 20 something year old kids who are gung ho about the game, who may both want to risk it?
Yeah.
I think Danny's more obviously a more mature person, obviously been through a lot more in his life. I think he's a new father. I think he comes with a more protective personality, or like just thinks a little bit more far ahead. And I think I would have that resonated with me. That's probably the thought process I would have had. Yeah. I would have protected.
Okay.
Not to say it would have been the right thing to do, but that's just what I think I would have done in that moment.
Yeah, I know Steven last night was saying that you got to risk it, and Dalton Ross said you got to risk it. But I just think that I would be very, very nervous to do something so ambitious on day two. But I just can't get it out of my head. Like, yeah, this is why you lose.
You know what? I picked up on another thing. At that sign before they started to walk up the hill, that sign said, walk to the top of the summit and get to know each other on the way.
Yeah.
Said that specifically, get to know each other on the way. If you watch Survivor, you know that every note that you get, every word on that note means something. They don't just write stuff for no reason. An avid Survivor fan would have picked up on that and thought about why that particular note said get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They should have picked up on the fact that this challenge that they were embarking on has something to do with them getting to know each other.
There'll be a quiz or something. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And maybe they did pick up on that. And they did have this type of conversations, but that was a big clue as to what they were going to be asked to do. Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Josh, who wants to know, do we have an answer on how many triangles were in the puzzle, Karishma? Would you have tried to get the tribe to do the triangles, or would you have said, okay, why don't we get some people on the sweat challenge?
So here's the thing about that decision. If you sweat, you're definitely making it. Two people have to fight through the whatever amount of hours, but there's no chance you're not finishing it. You're finishing it. You just have to power through it. If you go for the triangles, there's no guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, do I feel confident I would have gotten the triangle challenge right in 4 hours? Yes, mm-hmm. I do. I do feel confident. I would have been writing in the sand. I would have redrawn the whole thing in the sand and done it, you know, a couple times, and I probably would have gotten it right. But does probably trump definitely? No.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely is the sweat. You're getting it done. Just pick two strong people and you're getting it done. So for me, I would have gone with the sweat and just power through. It's going to hurt for a while, but it's a definite as opposed to the maybe.
So if anybody was playing along and we're wondering the answer of how many triangles there were,
the great 58.
I don't have this confirmed, but the great Corey B, a legend of the wand off, that he put out a tweet earlier today. So I ran a script to guarantee the answer to Survivor 41 triangle puzzle. There are 51 triangle combinations. See the label of each intersection below to follow along with the results. And I guess he used some sort of like artificial intelligence to triangle counting program, I guess, to come up with 51 triangles. You can see this at CavX.
Awesome. I'll take C-A-V-X. A look. That's really interesting to me. I just tried it once. Like I pulled it up and just spent 5 minutes just counting. I mean, I feel like 4 hours, six minds. And this is what I wonder. Wasn't it David who was so against sweat?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it David who's the neurosurgeon?
Yes.
Why wouldn't he be like, guys, I can do this puzzle? If he really didn't want to do the sweat, as he mm-hmm. was telling us in his confessional how badly he didn't want to do it, then why didn't he just step up to count the triangles?
I think he probably wanted to be just like an easygoing guy who just is like a go along to get along type guy. We saw in David versus Goliath where Christian was sort of like thrust into that position on day one of being the person who had to solve the puzzle. And then even though he did it and he did it so easily, it was like from that point on, it was like, oh, okay, this guy is, you know, like now he's a threat almost. So even if like Voce had the confidence, okay, I can definitely kill this, I think he probably just didn't want to like have that idea sort of like start to take off within the tribe.
Yeah, because if he's wrong, then...
And then if he's wrong, and then it's like, oh, this idiot.
He's the one who stepped up.
This moron, yeah. And now we don't have a flint because of you.
Better sweat, boy. Better go sweat.
So, better off to sweat. Ben wants to know, does a faster game make advantages and aggressive gameplay more powerful? Also, in a shorter game, will a social player have a harder time getting jury respect compared to other players who power through the game?
I thought about this, how much the game being shorter is really going to change things. And I think there's plenty of downtime, regardless of it being cut to 26 days. I think there's still plenty of downtime to build your social game. There's plenty of time still left in order to strategize and have time at camp and build those social relationships. We had sometimes, I think, two, maybe even three, I called them dead days in a row. And those, you know, after the first one, yeah, you do some, the second one, just everyone's just laying there and you're not really talking. You're not doing anything. It's just a complete dead day for the castaways. It's a dead day for producers. And I feel like the game being faster, it's going to just cut those dead days.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to take away much from the player's ability to play the game. I think it's just going to cut that dead time. What it may cut, I mean, I don't know. I think they're trying to balance it by not giving them food and exhausting them more. But it may cut like the level of starvation, you know, the level of exhaustion. But they're going to find ways to balance it.
Karishma, I was really surprised that this was the direction that Survivor went in for this season, where I totally get doing a shorter schedule. I don't think that anybody is going to really notice this is a 2-day episode cycle versus a 3-day episode cycle. Mm-hmm. But I really felt like that the player safety was like more and more of a concern on the show. Did it surprise you when you heard about the direction of the monster?
Oh gosh, the monster being the show and the dangerous pace.
Yes, dangerous fun on Survivor. Like I thought,
so much danger. I don't understand why it's so much more dangerous. It's just, you know, no dead days. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be honest. It's just no completely quiet, nothing to do, boring as hell days. They just cut all those out. And I'll be honest, as somebody who played Survivor, I'm sure, I don't know if you'd agree, I could do without those days. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for those days.
Other than the rainy days, days when you have nothing going on, are really like the one of the worst parts about Survivor is the boringness of just like where it's just like if you have a day where there's no challenge or anything like that, like it is tedious.
Yeah. We were just begging for tree mail. Somebody tell us that there's tree mail. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I totally forgot what the question was, but I'm still thinking
about it. We were talking about does a faster paced game help out players that are playing like more aggressively, whereas a longer game might be something that's better for social players. I had an interesting conversation with Shannon Gus on that. We had a player draft, and what she was saying, because I'd asked her about Australian Survivor, which is 50 days, where that, which is really now twice the length of a U.S. Survivor season at 26 days. And she said, yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why she was taking athletic men in the draft, where she feels like if this was an Australian Survivor draft, she'd be taking, women who could potentially be better, like social players to navigate through the game, because that the people who are sort of like the more athletic, like bigger targets tend to, there's like, a war of attrition where eventually they're going to get picked off one of these rounds. People will see it if they're playing like a really big game. Whereas in this 26 day game, which is an 18 person tribe, which is also a final four in essence, like getting down to the fire making. So there's not as many rounds and days to have to get through. So there's less of a chance that these players could get picked off. And for each of these rounds, you know, there's a very good chance they could find idols, they could find advantages, they could win individual immunity. So she was feeling confident that a player who played that type of game would do well.
Are there going to be less tribal councils?
So I don't know if there will be less tribal councils, but I do suspect we may merge at a smaller number. I think that Jeff mentioned in his preseason interviews, it's going to be small tribes. So I don't know how long necessarily we will stay in tribes of six, but if you're going to plot out what a 26 day schedule looks like, I would be very surprised if we merged at 13, like we did in, seasons past. And I do think that emerging at 13, that's like the time when you see a lot of these players that are like the challenge threats tend to go out. There's almost no chance they could run the table starting at emerge from that early. So I wonder if we might have emerged a 17 ish and then merge at 10 or 9 and then just have tribal council every day the rest of the way.
Tribal council every day would be exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
That would be too much. I mean, I really do think that would change the landscape of the game. I don't think it would give the players enough time to recalibrate.
It's a monster, Karishma. The monster's going to devour you.
Monsters are unpredictable, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a tribal every day would just do a disservice to the game. Mm-hmm. The game at its core is social. It's adaption. And after every tribal council, you have to adapt. But you need to figure out what the F is going on before you can adapt. And you need to give the players an opportunity to do that. So I really do hope, while I understand why the season is shorter at 26, I really hope that they don't change up the game that much. Mm-hmm. I hope that they're still kind of, you know, loyal to giving the castaways that what they need in order to still play Survivor, because it's still Survivor. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a new era, cheers, you know. Mm-hmm. It's still Survivor, and in order to, you know, claim the title Survivor, you have to keep certain elements. So tribal every day would not work. And I will say this, I really hope they go back to 39 days. I do think 26 is too short. I understand why they needed to do it these couple seasons here in the middle. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And it is understandable. And in fact, I would have, you know, championed it, anything to have a Survivor back on my TV. But there's something to be said about that shift that happens around day 28, mm-hmm. 28, 29, when you've merged and it's been about one week after the merge. Mm-hmm. When you're kind of adapting to this, now you've been with these people for almost a month and something shifts right around that time. And I don't know if we're going to see that.
What is that shift?
I feel like the people who are tight go from being friends to like
family. Yeah.
And the people who are kind of not in the game plan or kind of excluded get like pushed even further. And I think what happens is like everybody kind of has to figure out where they are in the group. Who are they in the group? Are they brothers? Have they gotten to the point where they're brothers? Or is this person who you consider a brother actually brothers with someone else? Mm-hmm. Which is really gonna trump and, you know, quote unquote, just a regular alliance. That relationship, that connection that you have. And I think that comes with time. Mm-hmm. I think it comes with time. And that's why I do hope they go back to 39 days. And yeah, I think 26 is enough to suffer, but come on, Australian mm-hmm. Survivor does it for 55. Mm-hmm. We can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karishma, can I ask you about the thing that's been sort of like the part of the show that everybody's been like buzzing about on the social media today, about how Jeff asked the players, can we still say, come on in, guys? And really, it seemed like that this was kind of top of mind for Jeff, where that it wasn't even time to say, come on in, guys, that usually that's when you have a challenge. Jeff got to it like on the mat to open the show.
Yeah, I think Jeff assumed Rickard would have spoken up.
Mm-hmm.
It 100% came up in casting.
It came up in casting with
Rickard. I mean, I don't know for sure. But I'm telling you, I would bet my house on it.
Okay,
that this whole concept of the phrase "come on in, guys" being offensive came up in one way or another in casting mm-hmm. with Rickard. And after he left the room and the producers who had just interviewed him probably turned to each other and were like, can we make this something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I would bet my house that that's what happened. And Jeff is first of all, fantastic at what he does. I mean, he's constantly looking for ways to put his nose on the needle, right? Not even his finger on the needle, but his nose on the needle. And he's constantly looking for ways to take Survivor out of just being a reality competition show and make it more than that. We've seen in a lot of seasons, you know, a lot of different ways he's tried to do that. In our season in particular, with the injection of discussion about Me Too, sure. And discussions about race, and things like that, really important conversations to have, but there's a line where I feel like you kind of lose credibility as someone who's running the game of Survivor. Mm-hmm. Versus someone who's trying to teach America something when America's, I don't know. I'm not watching to learn. I'm not watching Survivor to learn these things. Mm-hmm. I'm open to the discussion and I'm open to adapting and evolving. But I think there's a large part of the audience that might feel a little bit turned off by it. And Survivor does have to evolve. It has to evolve. It's not going to be able to maintain an audience. It's not going to be able to continue calling itself a reality competition program if it's not real. Mm-hmm. And being real, especially in this climate, means, you know, changing things, maybe like Jeffisms that could potentially be offensive. While I agree with doing that, and while I absolutely agree with pinpointing the things in the game that no longer reflect our society, I don't think the phrase, come on in, guys, was the right one. And I think they were looking for the right one. And I don't think that was the right one because the word guys, as it, he used it, refers to a group of people, right? Mm-hmm. I'll text a group of my girlfriends and say, hey guys.
Yeah.
It absolutely is gender neutral in its usage. And so because it's gender neutral, I mean, even in by definition, if it's being used to refer to a group of people, it's gender neutral. It's not a group of, it doesn't say guys, a group of men. It's guys, a group of people. I think it was a little bit of a stretch to use this one. They could have found other ones. A little bit of a stretch to use this one to set an example that we're evolving.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he made a point that we're evolving, but it was so forced. He knew. And he was like, see, I made up my mind and you can tell me that I'm wrong, but I'm not going to read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit forced.
Yeah. Where I read a lot of there's a lot of discourse on this, but I feel like I saw a lot of people said like they could have just, you know, not said, come on in guys anymore. And nobody really would have been up in arms about it, but they, you know, wanted to have the moment in the show. And, you know, there's been some question of like, is that moment there for, you know, hey, like, you know, give us credit for what we're doing. And, you know, I think that that's a valid conversation to have. What has been unreal are the people losing their minds over the I can't watch this show anymore because it's either A, you have to say come on in guys, that what is Survivor without the come on in guys? Of course, everybody's favorite part of the show for 21 years that people tune in just, is he going to say it? Oh, I got to hear who even cared about come on in guys before this moment. But then there's people, no, it's not. I don't care if he doesn't say it. But then, oh, the show is too woke. I can't watch it now because of that. And, you know, either one. It's just like
let's calm down.
Yeah. You either love Survivor or you don't.
It doesn't really affect the game. It's a decision made by Jeff and the producers. It's not going to change anything. You know, it was quick in and out, a lesson that he wanted to tell America that, you know, Survivor has its finger on the tap of what's going on in terms of what's important to people out there. And that's all. It's not going to hurt the game. I don't think it changes the game. I don't think it hurts an audience. It's just a message that Jeff was sending that, hey, you think that we're still in the year 2000? We're not. That's the message he's trying to send.
That's what Brad thought when he said Sarah and Shan's name in front of everybody. And like, no, Brad, we're not in the year 2000.
I love that because I had pegged him for old school Survivor well before that. When he did that, it was funny.
Yeah, but I think that it just goes back to that. I think that, and Jeff started off with this. He's like, hey, if there's something that you feel like talking about, talk about it. Like, we'll learn something. But then I think that then it ends up, I think, getting a little diluted when then Jeff is going to like give you like, you know, his version of it. You know, you've done a great job with this cast. Let's just let them tell their stories.
Let them tell their stories. Don't force it out of them. If there is a lesson to be learned from 39, you know, it is to be really careful about the decisions you make as producers on really, you know, important things like gender identity, you know, sexual touching, like anything. Be careful when, you know, you're listening, but then you already have your mind made up about how you're going to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like that's what was going on because Jeff broke the fourth wall both times. The first time he was like, well, nobody spoke up and that's my decision and y'all saw it. And the second time he was like, somebody spoke up and that's my decision and I've made it. And if you have a problem, I'm not going to read it. Mm-hmm. And I felt kind of cheated. Mm-hmm. I felt a little cheated. I felt like Jeff was just being arbitrary. And I think they need to be really, really careful. I mean, it didn't happen this time, but you got to be careful with these things. You want them to speak up about what's going on in the world, but not too much, man. Look what happened last time. Not too much. You know, take it seriously, but don't try to exploit it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for, you know, getting into all that, because I know that it is definitely something that, you know, people are, you know, feel very strongly on both sides. And, you know, to wade into, you know, this conversation, you know, it can go awry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult, you know, because there's such really strong opinions and it's such a sensitive subject. But, you know, at the end of the day, the people who are quitting the show, because Jeff's not going to say that phrase, they're overreacting.
Yeah. Quitting the show. And, you know, that I talked about it last night and, you know, and yeah, quitting the podcast. And, you know, because I had said last night, like, if you can't deal with them changing your fourth favorite catchphrase from this TV show, like maybe you don't really love this TV show that much.
What's your favorite catchphrase? What's your favorite?
Well, I mean, I think it all starts and ends with "the tribe is spoken," but, you know, I know Mike and I did a podcast where we ranked all of the Survivor catchphrases, but I mean, "come on in, guys" is up there, but, you know, is it any more iconic than "worth playing for" or "got nothing for ya" or, you know, "immunity is back up for grabs"? I mean, Jeff has like 9 things that he says.
Who cares? You know what I mean? Like you said, are we even going to notice? My favorite Jeffism is individual immunity is now what you covet.
Yeah. You know what was my favorite Jeffism? 39 days. 60. Oh yeah. God. Guess what? That's gone too.
Why? You could have just said 26 days. But I kind of feel like he didn't want to shine a light.
Yeah.
On
yeah, that's right. But I'm not going to stop watching the show.
Yes. But he did. They're kind of trying to brush past it, like basically saying, oh, it's a faster paced game.
Yeah.
When they know, you know, come on, it's 26 days. Just say it. But he's
Yeah. Look, that maybe this was all the master plan. Get everybody talking about "come on in, guys." Nobody's talking about 26 days.
Diversion.
Yeah. This is like galaxy brain.
exactly. But yeah, no, it was certainly an interesting aspect of the show, and it caused a discussion between me and my husband about it, and that's kind of cool, right? Whenever something in a show opens up a conversation that you wouldn't have normally had. So
yeah,
while I didn't agree with the ultimate, you know, execution of it, I still benefited from it to some extent.
Yeah. And if it's something that is, you know, more meaningful and inclusive to anybody who watches the show or wants to be in the show, like, you know, that incredible.
Something with that. Yeah.
It is, you know, not a big part of the show. The come on in guys.
Exactly. Exactly. It is definitely something you can be flexible about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me ask you this question. Amy Cook wanted to ask you, who was the bigger tattletale? Was it Nasir for squealing on Deshaun and Danny's idol hunt, or Sydney for squealing on Nasir?
Sydney was a bigger tattletale. Here's the thing. What is Nasir supposed to do with that information?
Mm-hmm.
What is Sydney supposed to do with that information? And what's better for each of their games? And I thought about this, like, what could Nasir have done with that info? I think I would have told, maybe not everyone collectively together, maybe like the two people I had a closer bond with. And maybe that's what he did, but I think Sydney was in a better position to use the secret than Nasir was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Nasir could have used that secret to his benefit. I think Sydney could have. So Sydney's the bigger tattletale. Ding, ding, ding. New era.
Adam K says, is it better to have an ex-NFL player or a former Olympic swimmer on your tribe?
Ooh, tough one. Both. I mean, I had an ex-NHL player, but he was geriatric, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? An athlete is an athlete, and they bring so much to the team. I mean, we saw Danny. I saw the way he was holding that cast iron. It was definitely, like, showed the way that he's been trained. But I think, you know, a trained athlete who's got discipline and muscle memory and things like that is going to be an asset to any tribe, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But there is more swimming on Survivor than football.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not just trained in football. He's also trained in, you know,
being strong,
tackling and, mm-hmm. and pushing and lifting and carry heavy things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, the challenges have more of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, Krishma, he was a Cowboy. Who's your team? Ah!
Sorry, it's a sore spot for me.
Yes. Are you Texans?
Oh, no, my poor husband is. I feel sorry for him. No, I am an Eagles diehard fan. Philadelphia Eagles.
I bleed
green. And they will be beating the Cowboys. Absolutely.
Yes. John in DC says, this is the best way to do a premiere. One vote over 2 hours is too drawn out. Back-to-back hour-long episodes are too rushed. Yeah, I have to feel, you know, I didn't know they were going to do it this exact way, but I was very impressed with how this came out the first episode.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a surprise that there's only one tribe that's going to win immunity, and both the other tribes are going to go to tribal. I like the way they did that. It sped up the game.
Yeah.
But it also kept it interesting.
Krishma, because I usually feel like when last season we had the 2 hour episode of Winners at War, and it was basically like the Natalie Anderson vote and then it was the Amber vote. So I just felt like, oh, like we just got screwed out of having like another week of Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. It just kind of felt like it was fast forward to next week and let's watch next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think this, they added, there was three twists, quote unquote, types of different challenge stuff going on, a little bit of background stuff. And I thought that it was really interesting. Kind of just, it took the episode and just like spread it wider. And I like the way they did that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Okay. Let's see.
Less formulaic as well.
I think so. Okay. John wants to know, for the sweat challenge, it said that people aren't allowed to interact with the two people participating. Should Nasir volunteer to avoid being sus? I'm not sure that who is he worried about?
Oh, because he came down to check on them?
Maybe, yeah.
I would have gone down to check on them.
Yeah.
I think everyone, I think, in my opinion, I think every tribe did it. Mm-hmm. They just didn't show them all because they just Danny and Deshaun were the only ones looking for idols. So the only interesting thing, I think every tribe went down to see how they were doing.
Yeah. Here's the John question I wanted to ask you. Who would you want to go for a shark bowl with at Applebee's?
Out of this cast?
Yes.
You know who? I think Jeannie is super interesting. I'd love to sit and talk to Jeannie. Mm-hmm. Obviously, JD.
I love Apple energy.
Yeah.
I think JD would really be really cool.
Took me a second to find the clip, Karishma.
Let's hear it. Where'd it go?
I love Applebee's.
Yes.
Ain't it the truth?
Yeah. Do you think Jeannie would be fun at Applebee's?
Yeah, I do. I think couple shark bowls. Me and Jeannie could. Basically, you know, run that joint for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love this cast. If you ask me who I would not want to, I can't think of anybody.
Yeah, this is a really good, really fun group so far.
It's a good cast. They come from a lot of different backgrounds. They come from a lot of different experiences that they're bringing to the table. And I'm excited to watch more of that. I just think it's cool.
Alyssa asks a question. What's the monster and why is it Jeff? You lose a challenge and he takes your flint?
Yeah. What's with that? I mean, they don't have rice anyway. So what do you need the fire for anyway? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you get water from the well. The fire essentially is for cooking the rice and maybe to keep you warm if it's like freezing at night and raining. But it's like, other than that, that punishment, the monster thing, I need to see more of this monster thing. If they're going with it, it may just be thematic. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be super cool if they like had like an actual like monster thing happen where it's like comes in the middle of the night and steals your machete? blames it on somebody.
Yeah. No, I think that's Vince in the middle of the night that kind of came to steal your fire.
Or like somebody dressed in a giant rat costume to like scare the bejesus out of
you. Giant rat costume.
Can you imagine? That would be pretty scary in the middle of the night. I'm the monster. Okay. That would be kind of freaky.
Wow.
Right? I was like, somebody dressed as the Masked Singer just shows up.
Yes. And who would it be? Boston Rob or Sandra?
Exactly. It would be somebody dressed as like the gigantic Boston Rob or Sandra, just, you know, as a big monster singing a song to compete with the Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was used in marketing as like a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To just kind of depict a little bit more of an eerie, ominous tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game is coming. It's getting harder and harder.
Ooh,
it wasn't hard fantastic. Enough when you played, Karishma. That's the problem.
I mean, fantastic. It's hard. It's always hard, though. It's always hard. You know, it's always difficult. So we'll see. I mean, they look like they're eating coconut. They're good.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a winner pick for the season?
I hope it's Evie or a female.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I think it will be. I think we have a really, really, really strong cast. But as far as winner pick, I think that's super hard right now. There's a lot of players I really didn't get to see enough of. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't get to see much of Heather, whether she's going to give me like, you know, older person, early vote out vibes, or whether she's somebody who's going to, you know, be a late in the gamer. I really didn't get to see enough people.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think Evie's got longevity. I think Shan's got longevity. I think JD's got longevity, but you're going to have to wait and see.
Karishma, that I had been thinking about this, where, you know, it's been so long since a woman has won the mm-hmm. game. And the changes that they made to the game, I feel like, are making it more difficult for a woman to win this game in the way that they are sort of trying to go for a longer, more physically intense game, you know, combined with like the final four fire making as well, which, you know, a woman has not won the game since that twist was also implemented. Sarah won in the first season where they did the final tribal council in the new format. And I just feel like that, you know, we see the game continue to evolve, but I feel like that most of the changes that they make in the game are changes that I think are don't tend to favor women.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that men and women are on the same playing field when it comes to the changes. I mean, maybe when it comes to using the dice of truth, what's it called again?
The shot in the dark.
Shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Maybe women by nature are a little bit more risk aversive, so they won't use it as much, and then the men might take more of the chances, or that may bode well for them, especially with a 16.666 chance, right? Mm-hmm. Or we saw in the first opportunity to leave the island, it was three men who took that opportunity to go. Maybe kind of lends a little bit to that, but it's a double-edged sword. It doesn't mean necessarily that women are in a worse footing. I think it eventually it evens out. I think it evens out. And I think we're going to see that this season. We're going to see them sort of overcome whatever challenges that having a faster and shorter game present. I think they're going to navigate their way around. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would love to see it.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't it be fantastic? I really would love to see it. I feel strongly. I think we got a season for it. I think we got a season for it.
And I don't say that in that I root against the male players of the game. I root for the game to be fair. The fact that, you know, it's been so long since we've had a woman win the game, it seems like it's gone on longer than it's a statistical anomaly, because it used to be for quite some time that it was like a kind of 50-50.
Yeah. And then suddenly that just went downhill. I still don't see how any of the twists or changes to the show are going to become unfair for the females. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be able to keep up. I don't see any of the females as quote unquote weaker members of the tribe. I don't see any of them not being able to keep up with the pace or the stamina. All I see is maybe, and this is just me pigeonholing, which I shouldn't do to begin with, but maybe if anything, there's like a more like nurture aspect to women innately that comes into play. Like I said before, I think that that would still even out because, you know, the pros and cons to that, I think even out to the pros and cons of not being like that. So yeah, I don't think that the changes of the game are unfair. I don't.
Krishma, anything else you want to say about Survivor 41?
I'm so excited and happy. And I'm really, really excited for this cast. They have waited such a long time. If they're listening, I just wanted to tell them, you know, enjoy every moment. It goes by with the blink of an eye, but whatever the outcome of your game, it's an accomplishment. I mean, look at me. Some people would be like, it's just something to be proud of.
Krishma, that's a good point that you bring up, that you were part of the last cast of new players and your season, obviously, have a lot of extenuating circumstances, but you're also one of the last new players to go through this whole process. Do you have any advice to the Survivor 41 cast, if any of them might be listening to this?
Don't bother fighting back on social media. Just, you know, it's easier said than done to be like, don't read it. Because, you know, most people will be like, don't read it, but you're going to read it. You know what I mean? Read everything.
There are strangers talking about you on the internet. Yeah.
But my biggest piece of advice is don't bother clapping back, fighting back, or even if they've got it completely wrong, it's not really worth your time. Trolls are going to be trolls. You know your truth. You know what really happened out there. You pinpoint what it is you are proud of, and you stick to that. That's your truth. Don't worry about trolls, and don't worry about responding to trolls. I think that's something, unfortunately, you know, people get really caught up on now, this day and age, in the social media age. Mm-hmm. And that would be my best piece of advice for the new. I mean, enjoy it with your family, enjoy it with your friends, share behind the scenes things with your close friends who would enjoy hearing about these little things. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to enjoy. Forget the trolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I would say, have fun. It's a, you know, for most people, you know, it's a once in a lifetime experience, maybe twice in a lifetime experience. And I think you want to just like make the most of it. Enjoy the parts of this experience that are good. You know, don't dwell on the parts of the experience that are bad. And I think that if you try to really like, you know, get your narrative out there, like I feel like that we get it eventually. Like, I don't think you need to necessarily in the real time be worried about, like, you know, let the story play out and then, you know, everybody has their chance to talk about it eventually.
Exactly. I think people will always see what they want to see. But if you are your authentic self and you know who you are, it will come out without you having to sort of take those extra steps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Karishma, other than planning your 0th birthday party and playing in the Rotten Coconuts in the new era, in the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football team, League, how is your team doing?
I am 2-0.
2-0.
I beat Kellen first week. I just beat Dalton Ross this past week. And I play Sarah Lucina this week. And we are, it looks, the projections show us sort of neck and neck. So, coming after you. Coming after you, Lucina.
Lucina. Okay. All right.
And then when we play each other, if I win, you're going to send me some Applebee's, huh?
That's right. I will do that. I don't know when it's been a rough go for my team. We'll see if I can turn it around in week 3. So, Karishma, I know people can also watch you on the Black Widow Brigade.
Oh, yes! Hey, everyone tune in to Black Widow Brigade. It's on YouTube.
Do you want to explain what that is?
So it was a one-night social strategy game that was developed by Alex Gardner of Survivor Philadelphia and I believe One Talk fame.
Alex G,
who is brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. He created this game and it was so much fun. One night, which is fantastic. And I played with, a bunch of Rahat people. Some people I knew, some people I didn't know very well. But I feel like it was a really, really cool, fun game. We each played the persona of an ex-Survivor player. Mm-hmm. And each ex-Survivor player like came with their own advantages and strategy. And now I think we have about 3 episodes left and there's about to be a couple really big reveals and people are on their toes about who's who. It's kind of like Mafia meets Survivor. Let's put it that way. It's like Mafia meets Survivor. Mm-hmm. Vote somebody out. There's an edge of extinction. There's fire tokens. It's a lot of fun. I had a blast playing. Lyrsa played as well. And it's just Josh Wiggler played, Mike Bloom played, Shannon was played. Mm-hmm.
You know, an all-star cast, yeah.
All-star cast. And I think we just had a really good time one night during the pandemic. And Alex G, man, props. That mind to come up with a game like this, it's just incredible. So watch it.
Okay. And then, Karishma, where can people keep up with you on social media?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at QT Karishma, the letter Q, letter T Karishma. I've had that handle ever since the AIM days, baby. Been QT Karishma for life.
Yeah. Well, Karishma, this was so much fun to get to catch up on the first episode of the new season.
Yeah, I'm so, so thankful that you invited me to talk to you. And it just sort of enriches my experience, too. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for, you know, the Rahap community. They are just incredible in every single way.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back doing this. I told you before we started, I was a little nervous to come back. I feel like I haven't done a post episode interview like this since Winners at War.
It's like riding a bike for you. It's your magic.
We'll see. We'll see. You were fantastic. And thank you so much for doing this. And of course, looking forward to hearing more of what you have to say, and hopefully not having to buy you dinner if I lose to you in fantasy football.
We'll see. All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Krishma Patel, first week recap in the books. Of course, going to get to talking with Chappelle over the weekend. That's going to be one of the podcasts. We'll drop it early for the patrons. We'll put it in the main feed for you probably Sunday night. We'll do that with the feedback shows this season, where the patrons will get it as soon as it's done. And then everybody else, we're going to space it out a little bit more to fill out the Survivor week. Over the weekend, I will also be doing our monthly new patron orientation, but we don't only offer it to the new patrons. If you're an existing patron and you want to know more about accessing your benefits, we're going to do a Q&A, a little bit of a meet and greet with the new patrons. That's going to be on Saturday afternoon at 6 p.m. Eastern. We will send out that link over on Patreon at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's also where you will get the invite for Monday night's patron Q&A with Aman Adwin. So thank you so much for joining us here today. Still plenty of a Big Brother podcast coming up this week, so be on the lookout for that from Thursday night, Friday night, and again on Sunday night as we're closing out the Big Brother season. And be sure to check out all of the other Survivor podcasts coming your way over on Reality TV Rehab Ups, including Why X Lost every single week, the B&B Survivor Global, and the brand new Survivor Stock Watch with Taryn Armstrong. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.